Emerging Enterprise Awards 2020 on Money FM 89.3 is brought to you by OCBC and the Business Times.
Well, this is Money FM 89.3 and I'm Bernard Lim. Amid the unique backdrop of the COVID-19 pandemic, this year's Emerging Enterprise Awards 2020 will look to recognize small and medium-sized enterprises that demonstrate innovation, resilience and sustainability despite the challenging circumstances. In this 13th year, the awards are jointly organised by the Business Times and OCBC are held every year to celebrate and recognise emerging businesses with an enterprising mindset. And COVID-19 is putting each business resiliency and innovative thinking to the test. And today we speak to the CEO and co-founder, Gerald Ong at Swap Mobility. Gerald, welcome back to the station. Welcome back to the show. Now, how have things been since May when we last spoke to you? I mean, you mentioned being affected because you were in the mobility space, especially during the circuit breaker.
Yeah, so in May, it was really the time of how we were most worstly affected because what happened was there was circuit breaker and, you know, folks were working from home and a lot of office closures and the, you know, reduction in ridership definitely affected our revenues. But then again, there was a lot of positive stuff happening in June. What we saw, a lot of recovery in certain clients. So they started, you know, opening up, coming back to the office. We also saw in some countries new regulations that required some of the features that we had. These are around safe distancing measures. So making sure the buses don't get overcrowded. That's one. Being able to provide a manifest, you know, at any point of time who was on the vehicle for contact tracing. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the bigger ones that we're seeing now is with the split team planning and, you know, most companies are on partial work from home. Mm-hmm. What happens is their previous transport arrangements
don't work anymore.
Yeah, not so ideal, right? and they come to us with really question, you know, are we overspending? How can we, you know, look at, review this and do better? Cost savings, right? Mm-hmm. So that has accelerated a lot of our conversations. And, you know, helped us move a lot of deals forward.
Right. And how else did the pandemic affect you? I mean, especially your partners, or how else did it affect you?
Well, I think one thing we saw happen was, you know, the sales process and also the deployment process became remote. Obviously, we were not able to travel. And we had been trying to expand overseas already towards the end of last year. And this was pre-COVID. And, you know, some of the clients and partners we worked with were not set up, right? Mm-hmm. And it was very tough. And we had to fly in just to make things happen. But now, because that's the normal, everyone's, you know, they have proper internet and they're used to using all these tools, like video conferencing tools. Mm-hmm. Things move a lot faster. Mm-hmm. We were able to do a lot more sales. These things don't require us to fly in. We were able to deploy remotely. We've expanded quite fast in Philippines and Japan. Mm. And, you know, some of the feedback from our clients and partners is like, oh, it feels like you guys are right here next to us, you know, in the same office. So the tools are important. And of course, you know, the processes and the communication needs to be good, right? Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a bit of a tough pandemic period for you. So I'm sure there must be challenges along the way as well. So what has been the biggest challenge for you during this time and how did you kind of tackle it?
Right. So I think the biggest challenge was, you know, learning to be a fully remote company. Mm-hmm. We are a startup, so we have to move really fast. We can't just say, okay, let's, you know, things are not so ideal. Let's wait and see. There's no such thing, right? Mm-hmm. We just have to keep moving forward. Mm. And because of that, when we went fully remote, we were fortunate. We're still small. You know, we have a relatively youthful team. They're used to technology, so it's not a big deal. We also had some remote teams already. But the part that's missing is we're a young team of very motivated guys. And you know, we have big ambition to change the world. And the energy, you know,
it's bursting.
Yeah, it's being around them in the office. Right. That goal's missing once you're stuck in the, you know, your home.
And right,
your kid is screaming. Right. So finding how to kind of find that social element was a big challenge. The other one is, of course, burnout. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we work from home, you find yourself working more. Also, these virtual meetings are more tiring.
And they're nonstop.
back to back. Yeah, so I think for a lot of the younger folk, first time working from home from this extended period of time, it was tough on them, and we had to look out for burnout and right. You know, check in with them more and find new ways to do this team building. So yeah, we're happy now. Things are, you know, easing.
Right.
We can now come back to the office once a week, right. and I think that helps a lot, right?
Makes a lot of sense. Well, I imagine your USP and competitive edge really came to the fore during this time because you're in the business of moving people efficiently. And obviously, time is even more of the essence these days. I mean, for the benefit of our listeners, maybe briefly describe to us what exactly does SWOT Mobility do?
Sure. So, you know, the problem we're trying to solve, or our system solves, is imagine you have to plan transport for your entire office. So maybe you have 1,000 colleagues, you live all over Singapore, and they all have to go to work at 8 a.m. somewhere, you know, in Tuas. Mm-hmm. And now, how many vehicles would you need, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. How do you do this efficiently? And this is the easy case. Imagine you have, you know, complex shifts, and, you know, different people come at different times, then it becomes a lot more complex. But this mm-hmm. is the easiest case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our system actually automates this whole process, you know, from end to end. And why we can do this is two things. One, we have, you know, developed one of the best algorithms in the world to solve this kind of problems. We're benchmarked on the most well-known industrial benchmarks, and, you know, we hold many world records. It's been in operation for more than 3 years, and we've done millions of rides, so, you know, it works really well. The other thing is we have developed very, you know, unique customizable workflows to cater for, you know, the different demand patterns and the complex shifts that I mentioned. And these workflows kind of aggregate the demand to allow us to use our algorithm to optimize. And finally, organize the entire operations, you know, letting the passengers know which vehicle to board at what time, at what stop, and the drivers how to drive. So this is kind of the system we developed. We've been actually expanding overseas quite aggressively this year. We've already have operations in 7 countries, including Japan, Philippines, and Australia. Right?
Well, we're talking to the CEO and co-founder of SWOT Mobility, Gerald Ong. And Gerald, you mentioned the Philippines earlier. I know you kind of tie up with Toyota Philippines recently. I read that in the Straits Times that it was especially meaningful for you. How did you help Toyota Philippines?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been working with the Toyota Mobility Foundation. They are a nonprofit of Toyota. And we've done some studies together with them for smart cities in places like Da Nang. And they introduced us to Toyota Philippines. And we saw, you know, a great need for our product. And it's really around the BPO industry in Manila. These guys operate 24/7. And, you know, they are actually the call center of the English-speaking world. They operate, you know, every time zone from, you know, Western Hemisphere to Eastern Hemisphere. And they have 700,000 of these staff coming in and out every day. And, you know, public transport in Manila is not like Singapore, right?
Right.
So it's tough on them. And, you know, they felt, firstly, they're spending a large portion on transport, employee transport already. And, you know, it would be great if our solution looks like a good fit to help them. So we partnered them to start expanding and, you know, introducing our solution to many of the companies there.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm not wrong, this was back in July, right?
That's right.
And how is this expansion possible, especially when we're going through a global-wide lockdown?
Yeah, so, you know, as I earlier mentioned, being able to deploy remotely was something we've been slowly learning and get better on. It really depends on the commitment on the party and, you know, the partners we have on the other side. And I think Toyota is really committed to make this work. And we have a really good kind of partnership. We rely on them for, you know, the other eyes and feet on the ground to let us know what's going well, what's not working. And from that feedback, that's the way my team improves the product and, you know, improves the whole service for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So how else have you utilized the benefits of digitalization in these innovative ways? I mean, I understand you even embrace machine learning and AI.
Yeah, so actually for our technology, you know, it's on-demand ride pooling technology. That's kind of the loose term we're using now. It's pretty new. There's actually a lot of stuff going on under the hood. We have to use, you know, machine learning to kind of build out traffic models so that we can estimate time of arrivals very accurately. You can imagine being late is not good, but being early is not good too.
You know, the
passenger might not be at the stop to get picked up.
Right.
So we also have a lot of custom in-house routing engine, and we have driver apps, passenger apps, and, you know, a whole system to monitor, manage, and configure these services. So yeah, definitely we are a technology company, and actually we don't really even have drivers or, you know, vehicles in our company. So we are like a tech provider.
Right. And what pivot was necessary during this time?
I wouldn't really say it's a pivot, but when COVID hit, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty in the market, and the outlook didn't look good. And of course, this led to project delays, right? The launches got pushed out. Some of these contract negotiations also took a while longer. I'm happy to say, you know, they eventually closed. But during that period, everyone was wondering what's going to be the new norm, right? Are we going to go back to work? Is this work from home forever?
Yeah.
And employee transport was a segment we heavily invested in. And to kind of be safe, we started a lot of new conversations. So among the chaos, one thing that was great was there's a lot of new opportunities. And many companies were much more open to, you know, at least discussing new things, right? Trying new things, because existing ways of doing things might be not feasible anymore.
Right.
So on the back of that, we explored different verticals. One of them was actually doing some small paid pilots in the delivery space. Mm-hmm. That was something we eventually wanted to get to, but, you know, we had to focus. So that was something we KIV'd. The other segments we looked at was non-emergency medical transport.
So what's next for SWAT Mobility moving forward?
We think we're just at the beginning of this trend to digitize employee transport. And there's so much more we want to do. You know, companies just don't know if they're overspending, and they have no technology component. They don't have the data. They have no idea, you know, how's their utilization. Are people even using their buses? So we see in the marketplace actually a trend, right, that more companies are actually asking for a technology solution in their tenders for employee transport. And we hope to play a big part. And, you know, as we scale that, there's a lot more interesting things we want to do, like being able to pool services across companies. And this will result in, of course, savings for everyone, you know, and better service levels for the employees. Those things, you know, take time. And the other segment we also are exploring is a bit more long term. So this is with public transport and governments. They move, you know, they're a bit more cautious folk. And as a startup, of course, we're running at full speed. So we're kind of balancing these two together. So that's another segment where we feel that the future really looks like autonomous vehicles are coming. There's a trend for a transition to smaller vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's shown that, you know, as the cities become more dense, smaller vehicles are just more efficient, you know, more nimble. And today they don't have systems to allow them to do that. And, you know, the technology we build is actually solving that today.
Right. Yeah. Well, Gerald, the company SWAT Mobility is in a chance of winning right now the Emerging Enterprise Awards for this year. So if you really win, what would winning mean to you?
Well, you know, obviously, it will be an honor. It's a very prestigious award with long history. And if you look at the, you know, the past winners, definitely a good bunch, and, you know, we'll be in good company. The other thing is, I think it's also going to be great for the team to be recognized for you know, our ambition.
Well, Gerald, wish you all the very best of luck, and thank you very much for joining us here today. And of course, CEO and co-founder Gerald Ong at the SWAT Mobility, which is one of this year's nominees for the Emerging Enterprise Awards 2020. Well, I'm Bernard Lim, and this is Money FM 89.3.
Emerging Enterprise Awards 2020 on Money FM 89.3 is brought to you by OCBC and the Business Times.